Welcome back, fans in the pro. Sorry, I was finishing up my cough drop there. Mike Ross, Deuce McAllister with you until 6 o'clock tonight. Our season finale, just the season finale show, as we talk about the Saints, the playoffs, the Super Bowl, the Pelicans tonight. And we bring into the conversation Mark Spears, senior NBA writer for Anscape and ESPN, Louisiana native, New Orleans native. How you doing, Mark?
Man, can I give y'all some rosary beads, man? Like, golly. Jesus, Lord.
Mark, we need a little bit more than that. I mean, it's
man, do we need to go to church right now and go kneel down? Like, what's going on with y'all?
It's tough. I'll tell you one thing. When the breaking news comes on your phone and it's from the Pelicans, it is typically – it hasn't been good news. And it isn't today with the Zion situation.
You got punched twice today.
You did. I know. Well, we're bruised already. So we're not used to it, but we're bruised already. But, I mean, it's – I guess when you kind of live in the bubble like we are, we feel like we're an aberration. Now, you cover the whole league. What's happened to this team this year? Is it an aberration? These many injuries? This many kind of knocks at you?
Well, first of all, man, can I please give my prayers and condolences to, you know, everybody out there in New Orleans, greater New Orleans, Louisiana, even the family in England who went through the tragedy, man. My prayers and condolences with them. And so, but to answer your question, this is my 26th year covering the NBA, and I can't say that I've had notice of a team that's had this many injuries. It's just incredible. And not just injuries, but injuries to your key players, like Yves Messi, who I've, you know, a feature on today. He's basically the only guy that ain't been touched, right? Like what's going? It's just stunning. It's sad. It's incredible. I really feel, because we continually say with this team, with Zion, this is like, I mean, will you change the name to the What Ifs? Forget Pelicans. Change the name to the What Ifs, because I will. Since the days of DeMarcus Cousins, there is no team that I will say what if more than the New Orleans Pelicans, man. It's just like, is y'all doomed? Is somebody voodoo the squad? Like, I just don't get it. And in terms of Zion's last thing, to me, this is different, too. This is like, all right, we've had enough. We're not playing games with you no more. Like, this is the first time he was late. Shoot, how many dudes was late to planes, bro? If he got in trouble because he late to – I've heard stories of NBA stars regularly being late to planes. So if he got suspended a game for being late to a plane, that tells me they're done.
Well, Mark, how are you, sir? Can I change the subject?
I'm sorry. Y'all asked me to come on. Every time y'all come out, ask me to come on, it's Armageddon going on with this franchise.
We didn't know that it was going to drop like that, though. We thought we were going to have some good news.
I'm starting to think it's my fault. Like, when I come on, like, stuff got to happen.
It's definitely not your fault. And, you know, I was just going to say, even Ives, he's had back issue. He's left games in the middle of games, you know, just because of injuries, but he hadn't been like some of the other guys where they've missed, you know, 10 or 15 games consecutively or anything like that. And so it was a double blow. It was a double blow. And, you know, here's the thing. I can't speak specifically because I hadn't been on enough planes with the NBA, but yes, they are very similar into from a structure standpoint, and hey, you got to be here. Yeah. This plane is leaving here.
I will say, Deuce, that Saints NFL is different than NBA. Like, not throwing any NBA players out on the street, but it's typical that the NBA superstar is late to the plane on a regular basis. Like, one NBA player told me yesterday, former NBA player, not mentioning names, mentioned two superstars he played with, like, the plane never left on time. So my point is, if they are suspending them for a game for being late to a plane, like, every NBA star does that, NBA, every NBA star is late all the time. How late? I don't know. How late did he come? I don't know. But the fact that they now were five years in, and starting to discipline this man, like, this is different. This is, to me, like, because the Pelicans have a reputation, respectfully, of a team that, like, just turns us back to anything that Zion does. That's always pampered him. That's always giving him the keys to just do whatever. I'd be stunned, absolutely stunned, if this is the first time that Zion was ever late to a play. But if you look across the league, this is a normal occurrence for some of the NBA's greatest stars, past and present. So to fine him for this, to me, there's a deeper meaning, and this basically says, and he even put there's either more to the story or this team is at its wit's end, and maybe we're starting to see the final days of Zion in the Pelicans uniform.
Yeah, I don't know, because I hadn't been around it enough to be able to say that we're going to wait on it. But for the NFL, I've been there. Even myself,
y'all,
was scared.
Yeah, I got too many guys.
Yeah, well, and you will get left in the NFL. You are going to get fined.
Yeah.
They will fine you for not even being there on time to the airport. Much less, they're not going to wait.
Unless your name is Drew, though. Hey, what if Drew shows late?
Well, Drew's going to get fined. And Drew is probably, he better be able to show him that I'm here within 2 to 3 minutes. If not, he better be calling the charter service and getting there, because they're not going to wait. Trust me, I've been there.
Okay.
They're not going to wait. And
yeah.
So even for the QB, they are not going to wait. I mean, because once you open that door, look out.
Yeah. No, and I respectfully, I do think the NBA, sadly, is different in that regard. It's a lot less people, and they're just look, again, I've been covering the NBA for a long time, and it's commonplace for a star to regularly be late to a plane, like it's expected. So if this is the punishment, this is like the first time. And you guys, look, you guys are there every day. Has Zion ever been punished before?
If it is, it's been internal.
Right. Hadn't been public.
Yeah. Nothing public, right? So to me, like, this is different. This is interesting. This is an exclamation point. I've never known men to be fined. Not something for this. Not something that's commonplace for stars in the league. So to me, you know, this means it's a changing of the guard on how they're, you know, the baby gloves are off now with Zion Williams.
But again, Mark, what's your record? I can accept it if I'm winning. I can't accept it if this is the effort and this is the stuff that we're doing as a team.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, to your point, and you know, it's when I covered the Nuggets years ago, I know that Melo was late on a regular basis, or that Allen Iverson was late on a regular basis, but these dudes are dropping 40 and they're playing. Like, you know what I mean? So what are you going to say, right? Like, so what? I mean, Allen wasn't late to the plane. Melo was late to planes. Like, Allen missed didn't go to shoot arounds and practices, but they're dropping 40 and they don't miss games. So I think when you're a star who produces and plays 90% of the time, perhaps there's a lot more leeway. And because he's just missed so many games, I just think I don't know. To me, this is a sign like, all right, maybe this will be something that will either shake him up or want him to want out. But it tells me that they're not babying Zion anymore.
Right, well, and we'll kind of push towards some of the games, but, you know, it comes after a Wednesday night game, back-to-back, where he didn't play.
Yeah.
So they fly out Thursday. He didn't play Wednesday because it was back-to-back. Again, we'll figure it out. So, Philly tonight, 15-20. Chicago, game 3, 17-20. And sandwiched in the middle is Boston at 27-10. Your thoughts on the Celtics and the year they're having after what they did last year?
I think Celtics are kind of bored with the process right now. I know Cleveland understandably so, is the king of the NBA at this point. Great win over OKC. Best record in the league. They're rolling. I mean, I still see Boston as the team. Not that Cleveland can't challenge them. Not that Cleveland can't make them sweat. But Boston is just too talented. And I think the biggest challenge for them right now is the coach is trying to be like, hey, like, we need to push to be the number one seed. We want more games in Boston. And we don't want to play any games on the road, right? Not any games, but we don't want to lose home court. So I could see them doing making a big push in the second half. And Cleveland has also been so much so benefited from a very, very healthy season. They had a long list of injuries a season ago, and they've been as healthier than any team in the league. They haven't had any adversity from a health standpoint. So I think that's a big reason why their record is jumped up. I mean, even when they play OKC, Chet Holmgren's not playing. So Oklahoma City's not at full strength. So, I mean, I'm really impressed with Cleveland. I'm very impressed with what they've done. But kind of looking at the big picture, and I like Boston still as the best team in the league.
Well, it's been rough, man. You talked about him a little bit, and you know he won the rookie player of the month in December. What do you see in Yves Mecey, and what do you like?
You know, I got to see him a couple years ago. I met him. I'm actually coincidentally in Napa right now, and he was playing with Prolific Prep in Napa, and got a chance to talk to him there. And really, really smart guy, and he remembered me. And the great thing about his story is, you know, typically you hear guys say, like, I dreamed about making the NBA. I dreamed about being the next Michael Jordan. When he came to America from Cameroon in 2021, it just sounded fun. I got an opportunity to go to a prep school in Napa. It just sounded fun, so I went. Like, it was just like, yeah, why not? I ain't doing nothing. I'll go out there. And he ended up playing better than expected. And he goes to Prolific Prep in Napa, plays there for a year. And then, you know, after that, things sparked in Baylor quickly than expected. And he had a big game against Duke, which basically put him into the NBA. It was that game that proved that he was an NBA player. And he ended up getting 21st pick by, I think, a brilliant pick by the Pelicans. You got a young guy who has size, athleticism, rim protector, can block shots, and he's still very raw. So, like, I think he'll become a better offensive player. I'm curious to see, like, in 5 years, you know, what kind of offensive player he is. So in a season of despair, season in disappointment, a season where – man, next time I see Willie Green, man, I want to get a bottle of red wine, which we both enjoy, and give him a hug. You know, he's the bright spot. He's the one thing to be excited and happy about.
Well, as we close out, I kind of sounded like those vehicles passing. I feel like you're close to a winery in Napa right now.
Yeah, no, I'm actually an ambassador for Kendall Jackson Wine. They're a sponsor of the NBA. WNBA and USA Basketball, and had a little light day and had a couple excursions at Prisoner Wine and Raymond Wine, where they hooked me up with some wine with my Hall of Fame pitcher on it. So it's been a good day. Had a good lunch. It's, you know, light Friday heading back.
Well done.
Gonna go watch some football when I get back. Maybe Deuce can give me a prediction of what I'm gonna see tonight, you know, but yeah, man, it's I'm having a better day than the Pelicans.
Deuce, Ohio State, and Texas.
Mark, continue that great day on that pick. I hope we just have a great game, like, you know, goes into late fourth quarter with it being, you know, within 7 or 3. I like Texas in that matchup. It's hard to say that Ohio State hasn't.
Hey, can
the right
I ask
time.
You something, Deuce, real quick?
Yeah, they playing well though.
How should LSU Nation feel about? how should we feel about Texas? Should we be rooting for them or rooting against them? I don't know how to feel about Texas right now.
Well,
you know, I guess when we're out, we're supposed to, like, root SEC, but I don't know, man. I ain't ready for them to be national champs in SEC just yet.
I think you're just rooting for a good game. I don't know if that I can say that I'm rooting for Texas. You know, it's I'm rooting for some players that you know on the squad on both sides of the ball. But it's really, yeah. I can't say that I want Texas to win a championship as well.
Can we just get a tie? I want a tie.
They'll keep playing. They'll come back tomorrow.
I don't want either team to win.
I'm with you there.
That's what we felt last week when we were playing Tampa and Atlanta was playing Carolina. A couple of ties. Mark Spears, senior NBA writer for ESPN and Scape. Enjoy your time in Napa. Our thoughts and prayers to everybody in California as well. We'll talk to you soon.
And, hey, real quick thought. Herb Jones, amazing guy, one of the best people I've ever covered in the NBA, so Godspeed to him, too, to get better.